Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad that you're here today. Have you ever had expectations that weren't met? Have you ever thought, certainly, a situation was going to turn out one way and it ended up another? Duh. Who hasn't? I know I have. I'm what's known as a bluegrass widow. No, my husband hasn't died, but he's played with a bluegrass band for 33 years. More often than now, in the early days, he would travel with the band and play festivals and events. I have many t-shirts that I call guilty t-shirts, and I've always teased him that he would always buy me t-shirts because he felt guilty leaving me at home alone with our little boys. Secretly, I have to tell him that I really enjoyed those times with my little boys. One week in particular, I remember seeing a Dairy Queen advertisement on television, and it had this amazing looking foot-long hot dog. All week long, I planned, I'm going to take Taylor and Bradley to Dairy Queen, and we're going to have hot dogs, french fries, and ice cream. So Friday night finally came, and I put the boys in the car, and we headed off toward Dairy Queen. The only one in the area at that time was in a pretty rough side of town. As I drove into the parking lot, I thought, oh, this doesn't look too promising. I pulled in, though. There were a group of young people huddled around a picnic table. Yes, I was judging them, but I felt they were up to no good. I saw what could have been a drug deal going down, and then some other young men drove up. I have to admit, I was in fear for our lives, and so I didn't get out of the car with the boys. We drove off. Man, I really wanted that hot dog. I don't remember where we went, but my boys were fed and happy, and I probably found them an ice cream somewhere else. We might have even taken in a movie. So the night was good. Sometimes things in life have more consequences, and they don't turn out good, and we're disappointed. Life is a mysterious voyage filled with obstacles. There are blessings. There's a lot of things that are unknown. And wow, it seems like there are decisions that have to be made on every turn. I don't know about you, but by the end of every year, if I could look back, that year looks so much different than what I thought it would be like at the start of that year. As they say, we plan and God laughs. Proverbs 19:21 affirms this. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Life is like traveling down a river in a canoe. You think you know where you're going. You plan the trip. You put on your life jacket. You pack your boat. But truthfully, you don't know what it looks like around that next bend. You've never been here before. There are forks in the river. There are sharp rocks and rapids and bad weather. There are snakes in the water too. There are unexpected times when your boat gets turned over and you lose your supplies. Oh, and maybe your cell phone. That's the worst. And your compass too. The rapids cause you to bump your head on a rock. You fight and fight the rapids. Finally, you swim to the shore exhausted. You vow to never get back in that boat, but you know you have to. Oh, but along the way, there are also peaceful glides and beautiful scenery and sunny days. These are the days you feel good about putting your paddles in the boat and resting. You can breathe the fresh air, feel the gentle breeze, and smell the fragrance of the mountain laurel lining the path of the river while you feel the sun bathe your face and your weary bones. There are wonderful fellow travelers that you meet along the way. You help them, and they help you along the journey. Life is good, but life is hard. As we all well know, a simple phone call can change everything. We plan for the sunny days, the stormy ones, not so much. How can we when we don't know what's coming? I don't have the answers, but I have the answer. I am so glad that while I don't know what the future holds, I sure know who holds the future, and that's the Lord. He is my Savior and my Master, Jesus Christ, who watches over me and guides me. He's always there for me, no matter what's around the bend. I don't have time in this podcast to tell you all the miracles He's performed on my journey. Many of those miracles I discussed in my early podcast, if you want to go back and listen to the early episodes. God has simply brought me through the impossible. But what about those stormy days? Can we trust God enough to pick up the paddles on those stormy days and to go over the falls knowing that He is on board with us? Oswald Chambers once said, "Faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading." God is always working a plan. And so often He doesn't share with us what that plan is. We just simply have to trust. Through so many of the trials and hardships that I've been through in my life, I've asked God this question: why? What are you doing? What are you trying to teach me? And again, the answer has always been two words: trust me. And as I look back, I know that I could trust Him. He has been faithful. I don't want to ever forget in the light what He's done for me in the darkness. He's always been there. He's never left me alone. He's always gotten me through every situation, every time. He's still getting me through some of those situations now. The truth is, we don't know what to expect. I'm reminded of Job. Job was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. That's Job 1:1. He had 10 children, a wife, and was a man of great wealth. One day Satan came before God, and God asked Satan what he thought about Job. Satan said that Job was honoring God just because God had blessed him. So God let Satan take away Job's wealth and his children. Later, God allowed Satan to afflict Job physically, and Job grieved. He grieved so deeply, but he didn't blame God with wrongdoing. His friends weren't supportive, and they accused him of doing something to make God chastise him. His wife told him to curse God and die, but he didn't. He didn't curse God, but he did curse the day he was born. I can't imagine the anxiety he felt to lose everything he owned in one day, his property, his possessions, even his children. In Job 13:15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face." Job did question God. In Job 13, verse 24, Job said, "Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy?" He questioned him other times in the scriptures as well. God himself spoke to Job. God asked Job all of these impossible questions, like, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you ever in your days commanded the morning light? Where does light live, or where does darkness reside? Can you lead out a constellation in its season?" Of course, the correct response to all these questions was for Job to say, "No, I don't command the universe, and I don't know the answers that you asked." God can be trusted. And even if we don't always agree, and even if we don't understand, He is still in control, and His plan is for His glory and for our good. God restored Job in amazing ways. In chapter 42, verse 10 through 17, the Bible says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so Job died, an old man and full of years. James talks about Job as well. In James 5, 10 through 11, he says, "Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Possibly the biggest lesson we learn from the book of Job is that God's in charge. He doesn't answer to anyone for what he does or does not do. We don't need to know. As his children, we live in a need-to-know situation, and that's good enough. As Corrie Ten Boom's famous quote says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Corrie Ten Boom, as you know, was a Dutch Christian Holocaust survivor. She was known for her resilience and faith, and you can bet that she never expected her life to turn out the way that it did. She was able to help so many other Jews and to save lives, but she went through great suffering and tragedy herself. I love Job's proclamation. In chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." Job was overwhelmed by the goodness of God, even in the midst of deepest tragedy. We can trust Him with the storms of life. We can trust Him in the rapids and over the waterfall. As an old hymn says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." Alexander McLaren wrote, "Being in Christ, it is safe to forget the past. It is possible to be sure of the future. It is possible to be diligent in the present." Wherever life takes us, whatever comes, as a child of God, you can find grace in the wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.